podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the pink as the post-match show with the Anfield rap. Neil Atkinson, Uber Butler, Adam Smith and Kev Walsh. And Kev, my word, that was an absolute dog of a game of football.
Absolute pile of Christmas shite, that one. We must have been naughty boys this year because we did not get a cracker in that Santa sack. Load of shit.
But the top, they scored two goals. They have a third one that's just ruled out. Watford, on the other hand, they shouldn't be finishing bottom. That's one of the best performances I've seen from an away side at Anfield for some time.
But speaking of finishing, boy, they need to work on that, don't they? Fucking hell.
Those missed kicks were hysterical.
I've never seen anything like it. That one after we've gone 1-0 up, where it goes right to the back post and the kid just absolutely slices the leg out of it. We got lucky today. That was probably our Christmas present, because genuinely, like, they took us apart there. I wouldn't mind seeing the XG stats. They probably got better performance in that than we did. But it's just the fact that we've got top class finishes and there's an absolute dogs, apparently.
They were uber. They were aggressive from minute one, disrupted Liverpool. You'd also add in there, I think the wind is a massive factor in the game. The manager will mention it in his post-match, and no one should be annoyed, because it was really windy and it was really cold and it was no barrel of laughs.
No, not at all. I thought the thing is, though... Oh, go on. I thought the thing is, though, with that... If Man City play that game, I did think we were shit the whole time. I thought, oh God, we were shit. But if Man City play that game, there is no chance they win it.
Yeah.
There is no chance that Man City get away with playing that badly and not and winning that game. That's Liverpool. That's the Jurgen Klopp Liverpool. It's like Pep Guardiola couldn't have pulled that out of his ass.
That's a really good point, and I think all the way through the game you see the resilience. You see them get through 5-minute patches. You see, for instance, them work out the conditions first half, work out how to use them to their advantage, Adam, and work out how to turn Watford around and terrify them without ever playing particularly good free-flowing football. They managed to get in on a number of occasions. I mean, Watford do as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think Kev's point about Watford being shite at finishing is absolutely, you know, like, worth mentioning, because there were the amount of times I went to it's a good job you're shite every time they had an attack and didn't score, because they would have, a better team would have scored against us. But, and you know, it's not something we want to talk about loads, but all the usual caveats. But it's also really difficult to get any kind of rhythm up when you've got a referee letting them get away with what he was letting them get away with in the match there, because it just means that they know they can do whatever they want in terms of time wasting, in terms of disrupting us, in terms of everything, and the referee will just keep his back to it so he doesn't have to worry about it. And that does start to play. So when you've got the wind going against you, you've got I think a couple of the players seem to have trouble with the sun in the first half as well. Milner particularly down the left, he was struggling with it. So I think, you know, they're all mitigating factors, aren't they, that you've got to just say, yeah, we weren't great, but as seems to be the way with this Liverpool team this season, we did what we needed to do. It wasn't exciting, it wasn't spectacular, but we did what we needed to do and we walked away with 3 points, and that's what we want for Christmas.
Salah misses a number of chances, but he scores two, and I felt he was constantly threatening Kev all the way through the game. I thought he was terrifying today. He'd have been a nightmare to play against, and a lot of it is, at times it looks a little scruffy and all of that sort of stuff, but he's just a constant roving threat.
Yeah, because he's Mo Salah, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we take for granted the fact that we're watching one of the best strikers in world football playing for Liverpool, and he drops down a level occasionally, which human beings do, and we're a bit like, well, fucking hell, why can't he do what he's done for the last 500 games or whatever it's been for us? I think today some of his decision making was a little bit questionable. He took a couple of shots on where I thought, just square that there and maybe we're in. Stop moaning about me, my position on that.
But he gets two goals, and that's the thing. If you're him, you're saying, yeah, that's the cost of doing business.
Well, you've said this many times, Neil. There's loads of times where you can have a moan about his performance, and that's the bottom line of it. The bottom line is he gets two goals and we win 2-0. So if he doesn't get them two goals, it's 0-0. It's a nightmare. And you're looking at a performance from a couple of years ago where you're going, we just need someone to put the ball in the back of the net. Well, we've now got that man. And now we're moaning because it wasn't 4 or 5-0, which is a nice position to be in.
Uber, Salah misses a couple. Firmino could just do with that one going in, I think, because that was not a centre forward who looked confident in front of goal to me. We've been trying to say he does so much other stuff in the game and all of that, but you're in the middle of the sticks, you're 6 yards out, you've even been able to take a touch, you really should score.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him though. I don't feel worried about Firmino.
I thought
making room for Shaqiri confused me a little bit. He obviously wanted to play Mo through the middle, and he had to make a way of making that work. But then And I think the whole game, I was asking my mate, I was like, why does he want to play Mo through the middle? So he scores two goals and wins us again. That's why.
That's
what he's doing this last.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not worried. I'm not too worried about Firmino, but he was lost in the first half. I thought that was more about just the formation didn't really work, did it? I don't think. 4-2-3-1.
You worried about Firmino?
Well, I said on the Friday show, and I was talking to you, that I actively wanted him to drop Firmino because he's just not in his right headspace at the minute, and absolutely nothing's coming off for him. And there were a couple of chances today, a couple of times today, where I was like, oh, he might prove me wrong, he might make me look stupid. And he just didn't, because he's not passing it well, even his movement's dropping off a little bit. He just looks knackered. I think he really does. I think it's like, a long old season, and, you know, because let's not forget, he was the biggest presser, he was the biggest mover, he was everything else last season.
He had the Copa America.
He had the Copa America on top of that, and then he's come straight into this one. I think he just looks shattered.
Yeah, I think you put it in my head, Adam, on a show the other week about his passing being slightly off. And normally his passing's to feet and it's perfect. And just a couple of times today, you've seen it was an outside of the foot pass he played. And it either wasn't making it there at all, or if it was, it was just half a yard to the wrong side. And when you're playing in a unit like we're playing, you need them passes to be perfect. I disagreed slightly on whether we should play him today. I said to you on the weekend, I think it was, Neil, I thought, perfect game. A game against a team that's going to give you chances galore. We're going to score a million goals. But the fact is, it turns out to be a slog for him today because they made us work hard for it. So when he did get his chances, I was hoping his chances would be like first 10 minutes, open goal, one goes in, we're flying. But it turned out to be that his chances were like the one in the first half where he had it under control three times as he was dragging it forward. And I'd go, please, Bobby, please. And it just didn't quite work out for him, did it?
I almost think, though, with Firmino and Wijnaldum, though, they're like the bellwethers, aren't they, for what Klopp is trying to do in a game. You're trying to figure out what Klopp's trying to do, you just watch what one of those two are doing. Yeah. And I almost felt like, it almost feels like, especially today, he literally took the goal scoring responsibility away from Firmino, which I don't think he should have. But, like, I don't know. I think he was asked something different of him today, but he should score the chance.
It's to go right the way through. I mean, there's actually a lot in a game where Liverpool don't play particularly well. Kev, you know, to go right the way through, lots of different bits and pieces. First and foremost, we were in the presence of genius today. We were in the presence of absolute footballing genius. Ben Foster is the greatest time waster I have ever seen in the professional game. He sets the tone, the rest of the Watford lads follow him, he rubs off on everyone, just his attitude around the place, you know what I mean? Everyone speaks of it, everyone says it is time wasting at an Olympian level. I have never known the likes.
He played for Man United, so he's clearly an absolute bastard, so therefore that's where he's got it from. He now plays for Nigel Pearson, the fucking absolute bastard of the Premier League currently. So he's going to do all that, isn't he? I'm not worried about stuff like that. If the team comes to Anfield and they're not time wasting, then I'm worried, because they think we've got a bit of this year. And if Watford would have had a little bit more about them, they could have gone, actually, if we keep trying to do what we do here, we've only got to create another 461 chances before we put one away.
You mentioned before all the little dark stuff. The referee, and it's the referee who's got to get a grip of him and chooses not to in that period. But it is one of the things that was strange about it to me was, obviously it's the plan, but sometimes you might just have to adapt the plan, because there was something in that game there for Watford. And I actually think in the end it actually becomes a little bit counterproductive. They'd have been better keep it in us with tempo.
Yes and no, I think, because I think their plan was to be in it with five to go, and they were in it with five to go. And so those little moments where they had it, they could have turned it on for the last five and got that, as you say, that sort of thing going through. But I just think My only criticism on it, and it is on the referee, but my only criticism of the Liverpool team is they need to learn when they're up against these sorts of referees. They need to learn to have. Why I want to know why Henderson isn't following the referee round.
He was
a little bit in the second half, but first half we should have someone whose job it is to literally walk around with him for the entire 90 minutes. Whenever Ben Foster's got it going, how long's it taking? How long are you giving him here? And we don't. He does sometimes, don't we? And he did. I did see him do it sometimes. But loads of times I was looking at him going, there's no one anywhere near the ref. The ref's walking with his back to the goalkeeper like they all do, because they're massive shithouses who are paid 80 grand a year to not know how to walk backwards. And that somebody should be saying to them, how long's he taking here? But ultimately, as you say, Ben Foster's brilliant at it, and he knows he's going to get away with it, and they know they're going to get away with it when they swap. You know, who's taking the throw-in, moaning about a free kick that's being taken, all that stuff. But today, it worked to our favour. Waste time on that, you knobheads.
other things from going through the whole thing to disallow goal. I mean, first and foremost, it's a gorgeous goal. Before you get into the ins and outs of it, it's a great ball in from Shaqiri. He wins the header, and I actually feel more sorry for him than the scorer in this instance. Shaqiri wins the header, gets the layoff back, puts in what is a phenomenal cross. It's great for Mane. Shaqiri's giving it the big one.
I was just going to say, he celebrates it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, fair play. Fair play is absolutely brilliant. It was a the whole palaver around it getting chalked off drove me mad, Uber. It took so long and no one had a clue what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, Shaqiri, it's like, you know he's got that in him though, don't you? I mean, that's a really trite criticism to say, isn't it? There's nothing more, oh, he can put in a brilliant ball, we saw him do it against Bad, like, you know what I mean? But there is a bit of, like, with Shaqiri, it's like, you get so excited when you see him in the team, and you know he's going to do something in the game.
Yeah.
But he's still disappointing, like, for me in general, but, yeah, great. It was a great goal that I wish it counted. I mean, I thought the whole game was sort of, the big thing for me was like Joe Gomez was just, it's like the whole, you saw every side of Joe Gomez within those 90 minutes, didn't you? It's like,
you got the gamut from him.
Yeah, but the recovery pace in the second half, you thought, oh, thank God, come on, more of that. But yeah, I thought just that was something I just thought in the first half he was quite poor, and I thought they targeted Shaqiri, Trent and Gomez pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then in the second half, I thought he was good. I thought Gomez, like, thank God he put that performance in the second half. Yeah.
Virgil has a moment.
That comes from Joe Gomez as well. To be fair, that all comes from Joe Gomez being a little bit rusty, and because he's been playing at right back, you can't really let that ball go over your head at right back. So he tries to do that as a centre half. Then he changes his mind, so he heads it back in. The goalie should maybe shout to Dave Van Dijk from where I am. I don't know whether that's like the case that is. But then that's going to happen occasionally. If we're going to drop a bollock, drop it at home to Watford, do you know what I mean? Don't drop it in the Champions League to Real Madrid in the next round or whoever it is. Sometimes your centre half is going to drop a bollock.
Were you relieved to see Robertson come on?
Yeah, just because he's like, but not in it. Only in a manner that I thought we'll stretch the game a little bit more. I think I would have been relieved to see anybody come on from the bench that we had. We had a bench of relatively solid players available. Oxlade-Chamberlain, come on, I thought he'd done really well when he come on. I thought Milner at left back feels like, if you're going to play him, do it at Watford at home, because that's when you can give him the most opportunity to maybe not have to deal with a lot of threat, we thought, but it turns out that they were. Robertson is like when you don't have strength there, and then you bring him on and you go, oh, I feel better for that. Well, you would do, yeah, because he's the best fullback in the world. So yeah. It's like bringing Roberto Carlos on in 1995, do you know what I mean? It's the same feeling that a team gets when you bring, it's like bringing Mo Salah on for Divock Origi, because he's much, much better than the replacement he's got in there, because he's one of the best in the world.
It's one where the injury looks a problem, Adam, in that it's one we could possibly just do without at the minute for Wijnaldum. But all the way through, that midfield was just having to fight for its life. That was one of the things I took as well. And then we end the game where Henderson and Milner are both on yellow cards and both on them for some time. There's one point where I think you see someone almost go past the two of them, where I was like, if neither of them are on a yellow, one of them just takes one here. And I think that they both managed to scrap and fight and battle maturely really, really well, Henderson and Milner, without ever playing particularly well.
Yeah, I think they weren't helped. I can't remember the last time I saw a team, and this is the sort of thing, again, that you won't see it in the stats or anything like that. I can't remember the last time I saw a team have the ball bounce for them so much as that Watford team today. Just every time there was anything, it was just bouncing where they needed it to bounce. It was mad. Normally, that's Liverpool.
Like things getting stuck under people's feet and all that.
And when it comes out of the feet, it's just with a Watford player somehow. It was really mad. But I think, yeah, I thought you saw, as you say, from Henderson and Milner. Milner in particular, because I didn't think he had his best game, and I think he looked a bit off the pace at times when Watford were breaking. And I think the intelligence not to just take the second yellow or whatever, because he didn't need to. And it was, you know, we were all right, and he knew all the people behind him were there, and he knew that Watford's forwards were shite. So he was happy enough to kind of say, this is fine. I'm fuming with him, to be honest, because I had money on him to get a sent off. So I'm a little bit annoyed with him. But I think sometimes you just got to be sensible, and they did that. And I thought Henderson was one of our better players, actually, for most of the game.
Yeah, for me, Henderson was our best player as well. In the midfield, as you said, he had to battle. Like Abdoulaye Koné, he didn't have a good game today, but he's one of them players who, no matter how far away from the ball is, he seems to be able to get there, like the Fabinho style of play where you can always nip in. But Henderson wasn't diving into challenges like that. I think he got his booking for a it was when the lad went through, it wasn't a book,
and it might not even have been a foul. I was livid, it was right in front of us.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a book, and I thought Enzo played it really well. And every time he went into a battle of legs, and it was often a battle of legs rather than a slide and tackle he went into, he emerged with the ball, but he always gave a perfect pass. But I thought Henderson played really, really well today.
Yeah, I thought that it was interesting. Like, it's a novelty almost still, where every player that you bring on improves you. remember when we used to think, oh God, who next? But now it's every single player you can, without a doubt, from the bench improves us. It's like, it's really refreshing to have brought on, you know, Oxide Chamberlain came on exactly when he needed to for me, and it was like, oh, that's kind of what, you know, we need it. And just coming back to your saying about it being chaotic, I was loving the fact it was chaotic. And then you saw the fact that they could deal with it. That really worried me.
I think, and it's because of the way in which the game went, I think it is really important to give credit to Watford. If they play 25 times like that between now and the end of the season, I don't know how many games there are left, but if they keep playing like that between now and the end of the season, I think they will pick the points up that they may well need. They'll be competitive at least. I thought there was every chance today we were going to get a side, and even with a new manager and out the back of the Premier League, and I'm like, it's such a big hill to climb. Today, to me, I think their attitude is spot on. Their approach, as I say, the only thing I think they should have done was maybe go for it a little bit earlier. But they made the game really scrappy, and we've seen a lot of poorer sides than that come to Anfield this season.
Yeah, well, it's weird, isn't it, with Nigel Pearson? It's kind of forgot about his existence because he's such a weird bloke, and the whole thing with the dogs in the mountains and all of that stuff.
And the drones.
But, yeah, exactly. But, like, you do think with him, he built that Leicester team that went on to it. He did build that team, you know. And it is, you do think that is him. I can't quite figure out whether he's a good manager or just another one of those English kind of morons who wants to, you know, get people to kick people.
I think the win just counts in his favour.
Yeah, exactly. But, I know. I think they'll be... It's just from today. I think they'll be fine, but they're not got many points, have they?
You've got to... just to do the stats thing, one of the things I did look at before the match is they are very, 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 very underperforming on expected goals.
Hey, I'm not surprised, mate.
But one of the other things was... a lot of the underlying numbers are actually quite good, and then you look at the team sheet and you go, and hang on, this is a side that's finished 7th to 14th in the Premier League. They're not different players, and maybe I don't think Liverpool were complacent today, and I don't think the crowd was either. It's a funny atmosphere, I think, today, Kev, in that I don't think that there was a complacency. There was a fair bit of frustration creeping in, a little bit of desperation creeping in, I think, as well, because of this thing that we want more than anything. But I actually think that the crowd remained reasonably encouraging whilst losing its head, if you sort of know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like the crowd learned a lot from previous years. I still want a lot of it is self-policing, because a couple of people around me started shouting and got told to fuck off, do you know what I mean? We haven't got time for that on the cop anymore. No one's giving Joe Gomez shit because he's having a bad performance. Or not even a bad performance, an under par performance. He's having it because he's a centre-half. He's been playing right-back and been back in the centre-half. There's a lot of understanding, I think, from the fans of what the players are trying to do. And anyone who's trying to get that, like the old horrible atmosphere back in, it's just getting legs along, may that continue.
Yeah, I think that was fair. I think the crowd today was sort of there going, I think it almost wasn't frustration with the team so much as it was frustration that I think a lot of people thought we should have been winning 5 or 6 nil. So it was more frustration that we weren't battering them and that they'd actually turned up and put a bit of a fight in than it was, you know, losing the heads with teams and the players. And of course, we were 1-0 up for, you know, what felt like most of the match, and they were wasting time when we were 1-0 up. So that also felt like everyone was like, sound mate, waste away.
I thought the referee upped the crowd as well.
Yeah, definitely, because there were times when everyone got up because the referee made another absolutely terrible decision. So that sort of cheered everyone up a little bit.
Yeah, you could take the frustrations out on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, a little bit like, yeah, that's fine. Like, yeah, all right, self-police me for going, you know, shouting at Gomez, but no one's going to tell me I've forgotten him a knobhead because he's been awful. So it's sort of fine. And it's also, like, I think the thing with the cop is it's always mad because everyone's arrived all wrapped up because it's freezing outside. Then you'll get on the cop and it's like Marbella and no one knows what
roasting
to do.
It's mad.
Everyone's sweating their tits off. So no one really knows what's going on. It's an early kickoff, so everyone's sort of a bit sick about that because no one's really had a drink yet. And just one of them, isn't it? But I think also we just did what needed to be done. So that was, and everyone, I think even the crowd were like, yeah, we've done what we needed to do today.
Man of the match?
Salah.
Salah scores two goals, it's allowed, and I thought he was endlessly dangerous. Man of the match,
man of the match was Henderson, but we can't believe we haven't talked about, I know Bobby had a shit game, but his assist for Mane's first goal with the overhead kick was fucking delicious. So that's
man of the match.
So that's man of the match.
Sorry,
yeah, I've just said Henderson, keep up. Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, Andy's got a point. I don't like talking about goalkeepers, they're boring, but Alisson is phenomenal. They're not proper footballers either, but Alisson is phenomenal.
Hey, I thought Alisson was brilliant today. I thought everything he did, everything he needed to do. The little throw-in he did at one point over someone's head.
Yeah, when Robertson knocked it back to him, and the lads running straight away just to turn it.
And that was like, he's been working with the throw-in coach, never mind Trent.
I was losing my head at that point as well.
I was like, get rid of it!
Yeah, that nice little lob. I think it's Henderson, but Salah is the way he just never gives up. Like, there's the one where Virgil boots it and it's going out. He's hit it too hard, it's going out, and Salah still chases it down, back heels it, and Oxlade-Chamberlain gets on the end of it, and Salah keeps it alive. So honourable mention, but for me, I thought Henderson was probably the best player of the day.
Okay, thank you very much to everyone. If you've downloaded to listen to this for the first time, thank you for coming and joining us. Loads of fantastic stuff on the Anfield Rap. Have a little look. You should also have some tokens to use as well to listen to some other stuff. Thank you very much, Andy, for producing. Uber Butler, Adam Smith and Kev Walsh. It's been your Pink, it's been your post-match show. Take it easy. Sports Social Podcast Network.